The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And those who are coming back, we definitely are glad to have you. Always good to have you listen to Fed Access and learning about different things. As you know, if you have been a long-term listener, we are always talking about careers and government jobs and security clearances and everything else. And today is another show in which we're going to be talking about these things. We've got one of our favorite guests on, Evan Lesser. He's founder and director of clearancejobs.com. You can find him at the site, clearancejobs.com. But it's a great site for those who have clearances, everything from those who have kind of the confidential or public trust all the way up to those who have the highest level clearance, a top secret SEI, full poly and everything else. But it's a job site where you can find either government contract jobs or find jobs within federal government and have recruiters talking to you and have a number of different things going on. They always have a number of great events that are going on around the nation that you should attend. Evan, welcome.
Thanks, Derek. Good to talk with you again.
Always. Hey, it's a lot going on. You sent me some great topics, so I want to kind of kick right into this. Reduction of clear personnel. That doesn't sound too good. What's going on?
Well, you know, it was roughly about a year ago that the government started understanding a little bit more that perhaps some of the biggest threats were coming from within versus from some external country or group. And, you know, that is all kind of the result of Edward Snowden and what happened there. And I think, you know, the term insider threat started to get thrown around as being really the key thing to take a look at. And, you know, one of the first things that folks on Capitol Hill said is, how many cleared people do we have? Do all those people that have clearance require it? And, you know, secondarily, there was a lot more scrutiny put on contractors. Unfortunately, when things tend to go bad, the first eye is always put towards the contracting community and said, do we really need these folks? Are they doing jobs that we could make done within government, inherently governmental? So, you know, long story short, the government has taken strides to reduce the total number of people with security clearance. And, you know, a couple years ago, the reported numbers were roughly 5.3 million people with security clearance. Recent news has noted that that number is down to 3.9 million people, really about a 15% drop in 2 years, and that is just huge for this already very small pool of cleared talent.
You know, is this a situation right now that this will hurt us, or is this a situation right now where, you know, sometimes when things happen, we swing too far to the right or left or whatever the case is without thinking strategically long term? Would this have a long term impact on the number of people who we have qualified to do certain jobs that are key?
Most definitely. And what's the interesting irony is that, you know, once the Edward Snowden situation happened and agencies and contracting companies started to look within for the potential biggest threats rather than externally, you know, there was a lot of discussion around continuous monitoring of cleared people, further lockdowns on classified systems. What technology can we create that is going to help us prevent this next insider threat from actually, you know, coming to fruition? And the irony is that in order to prevent the insider threat, you know, people have been talking about new technologies, new processes, new you know, elements put in place that would prohibit it. But those new things don't exist. We need people to come in and create those processes and make up those rules and develop those tools and technology. So you're talking about reducing the cleared workforce to try to limit the insider threat, but at the same time, you need to hire people in order to counter that threat. So what you've said there, Derek, I think is really, unfortunately, what the case is that while the Edward Snowden situation was a huge, had a huge impact on the government and defense and the intelligence community. Some people are saying that maybe the reaction has been a little bit knee-jerk in terms of stating, we're just going to reduce the cleared workforce and maybe that will reduce the threat. What you've noted is what we're already seeing on the job market. The number of cleared people has been reduced significantly. The number of jobs requiring clearance have increased significantly.
Right.
So what we're seeing on the clearancejobs.com site and what we've been hearing throughout the community is that with the supply and demand so out of whack, it's something we've really not seen since roughly 2004, 2005, when there was a huge hiring spree going on post 9/11, and so many people waiting for clearance or uncleared to fill those positions. So, yeah, this is going to have long-term effects.
You know, with all of that, and Evan, you could probably testify to this, it seems as if some, even with the contractors, one agency's hiring has been kind of a little bit, sometimes there's a big pickup, and then sometimes there's a whole bunch of, there's no noise, there's a whole bunch of quiet. But, with the contractors, they're not willing to sponsor clearance. And then a lot of people who have moved out of this industry now because it took them so long or either sequestration or whatever the case is. Some people have gone away from government and said, or government contract and said, I'm probably not going to come back. I don't want to kind of keep on playing this kind of conditional offer game and not get through or anything like that. Are you seeing the talent pool starting to kind of shift away from government?
Most definitely. Just yesterday I was talking to a rather large defense contractor, intelligence community contractor in the D.C. area. And they were noting, lamenting, I guess, about how long clearances were taking and that it felt like 2005 all over again. Periodic reinvestigations stalled, taking far longer than they were. More and more candidates waiting for adjudication for 4, 5, 6 months,
right.
In some cases, up to or over a year. So, unfortunately, a lot of steps have been kind of taken backwards. It seems like we kind of move forward a little bit and then we get pushed back and we move forward and get pushed back. And unfortunately, I think that the total sum of all these activities is really going to put us into a further bind. What we've seen is, in addition to the reduction of the overall cleared population, there have been a lot of calls for reduction of the number with TS clearance or higher, especially on the contracting side. In fact, some legislation was put out in January that talked about this specifically. You've also got a true public relations issue with a lot of the government agencies. Part of the main thing that has come across post-Snowden era is that working for government, working for the intelligence agencies, is no longer seen as a really exciting, interesting, sexy type of a job. A lot of people are saying, I'd rather just go to the public sector and get out of the cleared world or not even put myself into the cleared world altogether. So there's definitely a huge problem that's at hand, and we're already starting to see the effects of it.
This kind of goes into another article you put that NSA is having a harder time recruiting specialists, with this. And I think about this in terms of the intelligence agencies have always needed our top talent, right? If there's anybody in order to protect our country, we need to bring in the best cyber experts, intelligence people, engineers, and everything else working for government. And this situation is really kind of appalling that it seems, especially as the economy is growing again, people are no longer seeing it as, like you mentioned, it's no longer attractive. What's going on with NSA?
Well, I think this is really kind of the end result of what, Mr. Snowden and potentially Russia, depending on who you talk to, has kind of sown from this situation, is that the distrust in government is at an all-time high. The NSA, who was previously kind of behind the scenes doing their work, has now been thrust into the public spotlight. People are saying that if you do work for the government, if you do work for the intelligence agencies, a lot of public opinion would state that you're not necessarily one of the good guys. And that's just having a huge effect on hiring. And, I think that the NSA particularly needs to take a look at itself and put on kind of a rebranded face and talk about the good things that they do and try to separate the fact from the fiction and try to counter some of the bad press that's been going on, because at the end of the day, it's agencies like that that are, you know, protecting our economy, protecting the homeland, and, you know, it's important for them to have the people that they need. And at this point, regardless of how many contracting companies they try to bring on board, if the contracting companies can't find the personnel, then these programs are going to go uncompleted.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find him at ClearanceJobs.com. And if there's a good site, great site that you can find jobs and you can find anything that's cleared, both government contractor and also federal government. But if you're a person who has any level of clearance, you should be on this site. Also, great advice, a great place to connect with recruiters. But today we are talking about some of the issues that are going on in the clear community. There's a reduction of clearance personnel. The NSA is having problem recruiting people. There's a branding problem that our government is having right now because of Snowden and other things. We're talking about a number of issues that's going on in the clear community that we need to understand and address. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about cleared jobs. We've been talking about what's going on with security clearances right now. There's been a reduction of security clearances that are out there right now. People are the government is saying that we don't need these people with clearances. We don't need so many people with clearances. But is that short-sighted? You know, do we, because there are a number of different positions that we are finding out that still require clearances at the same time that the clear personnel are being reduced. NSA is having a problem recruiting people. There's a number of different issues that we have to address, and we're talking about them today. We're speaking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. He knows all about the clear community. He deals with it every single day. He's an expert on this area. Evan, as we look at it, you know, and the dynamic of cyber experts, but it's not just cyber anymore that we're concerned about. We're seeing concerns of recruitment across the board. Is that right?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing concerns with recruitment across the board. And I think, you know, while it's more pronounced at the higher level clearances, especially polygraph required jobs, mm-hmm. we are seeing it down to the secret level as well. So with the cleared population dropping from 5.3 roughly million down to, you know, approximately 3.9 million, just the overall supply of people has dropped considerably. And if you think about the 3.9 million people, not all those people are interested in new careers. A lot of those people have jobs. They're perfectly fine with them. So it's not like there are 3.9 million people that are available to try to find people for these open positions. It's dramatically smaller than that. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're getting into a situation now where there's far too many open jobs, not nearly enough people to fill them. And even at the secret level, you're finding more and more cleared people jumping ship, going from one company to another, because they can usually do so and obtain a salary upgrade at the same time. We've seen many, many times someone who'll be at a job for 6 months leave, get picked up by another company, get a salary increase in the meantime, and companies don't really bat an eye at that. You know, 6-7 years ago, if you stayed for 6 months at a company and then moved, that would have been a pretty big red flag. But at this point, nobody's really batting an eye at it. And it's really creating a situation where you can't do quality work if you've got people constantly coming in and going out. You can't do quality work if you're understaffed. We can't truly protect industry, government, and the homeland if we don't have enough people for these projects. One of the high areas that we're seeing the biggest disparagement between the number of candidates and open jobs are those that require the full scope poly. Mm. There are so many companies that are looking for candidates that have a full scope poly, but there are so few people that can fit those roles. And when you get into a niche like cybersecurity, where they have to have not just the polygraph with certain skills and certifications, you're finding out that the pool of talent drops down into the hundreds of people nationwide that could fit. Wow. And that really creates a pretty dangerous situation.
So when we see these situations where we see all these jobs out there on your site and many others, then what's really happening that the jobs are staying out there because everybody's asking, well, I see these jobs all the time. But the true nature of it is that the recruiters are really having a hard time finding the right candidates who have not only the skill sets, but the right clearances.
Exactly. And to make matters worse, when they finally do bring that person on board, they've taken the time, they've actually found that person, they've worked really hard to bring that person on board to the company. HR departments are reporting that retention is their number one concern these right. days for cleared people, because they know that anyone with a clearance is likely getting contact from other companies, other recruiters, staffing agencies. People are still, looking for those folks. They can't turn themselves off to the rest of the world once they take a new job. So retention issues are really coming to the forefront. Companies are having to really pay attention to the staff that they have, making sure that they're happy, making sure that they're well paid, and doing whatever they can to keep them in their seats and working.
You know, in terms of the hot spot areas, we know about cyber. Are there any, and even as you break down cyber or IT or other areas, what are you still seeing as the hot spot areas of hiring right now, Evan?
Well, cybersecurity is, and I think will continue to be, the number one required, type of position for years to come. The evolution of that industry is remarkable. Every month there's a new threat. It's widely understood that government and industry networks are under attack 24/7, 365. Not only attack from the outside, but the insider threat as well. So cybersecurity will always be number one. But the other areas that we're seeing an increase in demand, positions in the Middle East, obviously the situation with ISIS, the somewhat destabilization of Iraq, what's been going on in Syria and with Iran. More and more work is being done over there to kind of shore up the situation. For a while, the number of people required to go to the Middle East had dropped off. And then it really, as soon as ISIS made itself known, that is when we started to see an increase in the number of positions over there. A lot of new positions opening for places in Africa, where, as you know, there's been an increased amount of activity and threats coming out. So Middle East positions is definitely another one. Software engineering has been pretty large, kind of fell off just for a little bit in the beginning of last year, but now we're seeing it come back in full force. The number of people required for Java.net programming is definitely on the increase. Jobs are at an almost all-time high, but the number of available candidates is at, I would say, almost an all-time low. So those are definitely three areas that we've seen quite a lot of demand of late.
Crazy, because all those three areas is what the private sector is looking for too, Evan. Those are the three areas that the private sector, or Google or Bank of America or something like that, they're going to put the money in to hire those people quickly.
Exactly. And really, the lines between public industry and Homeland Security are getting blurred every day.
Right.
There was some talk really just about a month and a half ago about trying to do whatever is possible to obtain security clearance for, the top positions within Facebook, Google, Microsoft, anyone that has a large stake in the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was seen as really interesting. You know, why would Mark Zuckerberg need a security clearance? Well, when you look at it, a lot of the threats that are coming in are targeting services that you wouldn't necessarily associate with Homeland Security. But, I'll give you a couple of examples. Banking systems run by totally public corporations, very little interaction with government. But if large banking systems went down, it would have a huge effect on national security. Google, so many companies, so many people rely on Google, not just for search, but for services.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Amazon and their web services business. So many computer systems, both government, industry, and positions and industries that are totally unrelated to government, rely on companies like Amazon and Google and Microsoft and Facebook. And when hacking attacks happen against those type of companies, it turns from being something that you would not necessarily assume to be a Homeland Security issue into a direct Homeland Security issue. Think about the attacks against Sony that happened not too terribly long ago.
Right, the email
it started
hacks.
off as, you know, just someone has broken into Sony. They've destroyed documents. They've taken information. They've obtained information on personnel. And it quickly turned into threats against theaters that were showing the Sony movie, The Interview, that was, you know, contested for a while.
Right.
So it's interesting how the lines are really getting blurred between public industry and government and where the Homeland Security threats are.
And I know that the president mentioned about developing a new kind of cyber intelligence agency, something a little bit broader than what's going on right now to deal with these threats. And I want to continue that. We got to take a quick break, Evan. I want to continue to go down this path because the White House breach and everything you're talking about, these breaches with Sony and other places, are all on people's minds right now, because it's not just a matter that they were breached, but sensitive emails were taken, sensitive information was taken, that information was used against people as well. And, you know, what can happen if a Bank of America, somebody who's in national security, their bank account is taken, is broken into, or somebody gets into somebody's Gmail to use it personally. Now you find out family members, other things like that, the consequences can be grave. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is a founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. He has his pulse on what's going on with the CLEAR community right now. A lot of things happening in terms of getting the right people who have the right expertise, the right clearances, so they can protect our country, protect our secrets, protect our cyber community, protect our infrastructure, and what's going on right now, because there seems to be a disconnect between the number of people who have clearances and the number of positions that are needing clearances right now. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the CLEAR community, clearance jobs, security clearances, and the impact right now, because there seem to be a lot of things going on in the security clearance community. There are a number of threats. The threats continue to increase, whether it be ISIS, whether it be cyber attacks from major state actors like a Russia or China, or it may be a simple hacker. But people are breaking into networks. People are causing damage. People are getting information. We have the insider threat scenarios, a situation like Snowden, making sure we weed those things out. Every day, it seems like the threats are growing and we need the right people to deal with them. But those people require clearances. And if those threats continue to persist, but we don't have enough people to deal with them, then there's a disconnect and our nation is put into a jeopardy situation. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. He's seeing the impact in this right now because he's dealing with the government contractors, the federal agencies who are looking for people who are cleared with the right technical expertise. But some of those people are going to the private sector. They're not going to government. They're not seeing government as attractive anymore. Evan, we were just kind of talking about the dynamic, and you mentioned a lot of the cyber pieces and this interesting philosophy of now giving security clearances to people like Facebook or Google or other places like that. Do you think that this is the pathway forward? I mean, that we start to blend in public and private a lot more, that we may have a Google team working with the FBI team, and they're working on the same strategy right now. And rather than necessarily, you know, bring them as a government contractor, it's a teamwork concept. Where are we headed?
Well, most definitely. I think there's two things at play. The first is that when you're taking a look at talent and technology, not just cybersecurity, but other areas, you know, it used to be back in the 50s and 60s that the most intelligent, you know, smartest people in technology worked for government. These days, they don't work for government. They work for private industry, companies like Google and Apple and Amazon and Facebook. You know, those are the companies that hold the best talent, not government. So when government is trying to do what it can to not only shore up its own systems but help industry shore up theirs, they have to look to industry for their expertise and for their knowledge. As we mentioned earlier on the call, you know, many government agencies are having problems hiring due to, you know, their public relations issues and the fact that it's not seen as really exciting or useful to work for government like it was, you know, back in the 70s or 80s. So government must partner with industry in order just to get the talent. The other issue is what we were talking about previously, is that some type of an attack against a private company, you know, 10 or 15 years ago might not have been a national security issue, but now it very much is. Derek, you mentioned infrastructure, and I think that's the easiest place to make an example.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at a company like Pepco, Potomac Electric mm-hmm. Power Company up in the D.C. area.
And we had a grid go down recently.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. The grid went down just in the last day or so. But, it's investor-owned. It is not owned by government. It's not necessarily influenced by government. It is its own corporate entity. But as you saw with the power going down in the D.C. area, it turns into a huge issue that affects not just a neighborhood or a single building, but it has a great effect on government and public security as well. So that's really what we're taking a look at now, and I think that's why the lines are getting blurred, and that's why there have been calls for people in industry at the highest levels to obtain security clearance. So if there are issues, they can be briefed faster, solutions can be come up with quicker. And, I think the times are surely changing. The idea of someone like Jeff Bezos or Zuckerberg or anyone else at the top of these technology companies having security clearance is really not too far-fetched these days.
It reminds me of the time period of maybe like World War II or things like that, where you kind of really had a culmination of the film industry and other industries working along with Department of Defense, and this was kind of a patriotic duty that everybody was involved in the war movement. Is that where we need to take this right now? That this is kind of a more of a national movement that we all need to be on guard, and we start bringing some of our leaders from major industries in to kind of now be a joint force to obtain victory?
I was thinking the same thing. I don't know if that has really made its way to the public too much in terms of, maybe this is the strategy that needs to be taken. But, you mentioned before about the White House, forming new cybersecurity initiatives and new groups to try to tackle some of the threats. They're going to have to look to industry, not just for the personnel, but for the technology as well. Government can't do everything itself. And with the issues that the government is having attracting the top talent, industry is going to have to play a role. So how do you make industry play a closer role? How do you get them more involved and seen as a partner, not just as a vendor? Those are all great questions, and I think over the next 3 to 5 years, it's definitely going to become more solidified. But we're surely at a place of that we've not seen before. It definitely harkens back to World War II, where industry and government were very closely tied together. Maybe we're heading in that direction.
As we look at another kind of question, and I was hoping that this wasn't going to be the case. I've seen a number of different things that are coming on board again. There's been talk about another sequester. There's been talk about possible, even if there is not another BRAC, but the DOD footprint is just, kind of dwindling down in a number of different areas with budget reductions and everything else. What are we looking at, Evan? What are we seeing? What is the concern?
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind is when the sequester happened in 2013, there was essentially a delay put on a lot of the things that would come out of it. And that was a 2-year essential reprieve. And those would come back into play in October of this year. As far off as it sounds, October is really right around the corner when you're talking about budgeting and planning. So in the midst of all these cybersecurity issues power grids going down, the White House getting hacked, all these new threats coming from the Middle East, the nuclear discussions with Iran, at the very same time, we're talking about cutting budgets. And, it can go two ways. You could be part of the party that says leaner and meaner and saving money is the way to go, and others that think that, this is not a time to cut back, it's a time to spend and shore up our personnel and our infrastructure. But, the sequester threat was really not an issue so much in 2014, hasn't been an issue in 2015, but we're starting to hear grumblings about it again, and you're correct the concept of another BRAC round has really been put on the table and started to take a look at as a way to potentially downsize some of the areas of the DOD that we don't necessarily use a whole lot more. Threats have changed. It does not take a full nation state or army to threaten the United States or any of our allies. Sometimes it just takes one guy sitting behind a computer.
Right. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about a number of different serious issues right now. The number of people with security clearances, the right talent being in government to thwart these threats, to deter these threats, to defeat these threats, to deal with the number of situations, whether it be cyber, whether it be terrorism situations, whether we put the people overseas and have the right cultural and language abilities to deal with the number of threats, special operators, and everything else that we need to have. But a lot of these people require security clearances, and the number of people have with security clearances has dwindled, but the number of threats are continuing to increase. How do we deal with these different things? And along with private sector, how do we make sure that everybody's on the same page in order to protect our society? We're going to keep on talking about these things when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. If you have a security clearance, anything from a public trust all the way up to the highest level, top secret SCI, top secret SCI with a full poly, then you need to be on this site. This is a site where you can find jobs, where you can find both government contract jobs, but you can also find government positions that are requiring these clearances, and in a number of different areas, from cyber to your regular intelligence areas, all the way down to administrative, the support areas, logistics, and everything else. But you can find it at clearancejobs.com. We're talking about security clearance. We're talking about the number of situations that are going on with security clearances today. And Evan has given us some real insight on what's happening right now. Evan, when we look at certain things, I know you sent me something about the dynamic of supply and demand problems around polygraphs is getting critical. Polygraphers and polygraphs have become more and more important, especially after these insider threat situations. They want to make sure people are good to go, even though Snowden had a polygraph. What's going on?
So I think one of the issues is there have really been no government reports that have come out that have stated overtly the total number of people that have security clearance as well as a full-scope polygraph. What we've seen is that the number of jobs that require the full-scope poly going up dramatically, but the number of candidates that actually have that polygraph has decreased. A lot of companies are looking for the same people, and you know, when you're talking full-scope polygraph, you're talking about really a niche within a niche. Very, very small talent pool of people, and more jobs that require it. So, you know, one of the challenges with companies that are trying to look for people with full scope poly is that many of them can't advertise their open positions, and that they have to do what they can to find these full scope poly people in other methods. With the cyber threats and attacks on the general public increasing, things like the hack against Target, against Home Depot, things like that really make people far more security conscious, because it's not just something that's happening to government. It's happening to lots of different people on lots of different levels. But what that does is it makes people with security clearance, especially at the full-scope poly level, pull back, makes them far less visible, far less public, harder to get in touch with, harder to talk to about career opportunities. So, you know, what companies are reporting back to us is that it is taking them upwards of 8, 10, 12 months to find someone with a full-scope poly and bring them on board.
Wow.
And, you know, if the government is trying to cut costs at the same time, trying to slash budgets, it just makes it so much harder for both federal agencies as well as private industry to find these people with full-scope poly, because they surely are not inexpensive to hire or to bring on board.
You know, you mentioned something earlier in the show, Evan, about the delay of security clearances. And you mentioned about kind of going back to the days, which we all don't want to go back to, 2005, where there was just this backlog security clearances, and people were not getting cleared. And then there was a big push to now do certain things. Is it because of the USIS situation? What's going on? We don't have enough background people, enough adjudicators. What are you hearing in the industry?
Well, I think you kind of paraphrased it well earlier in asking, you know, when certain issues or threats come up, do we move too quickly? Does government have a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to what's going on? And we were talking about that with regards to the reduction of, you know, 15% of the cleared workforce. And if you take a look back in the 2005-2006 timeframe, you know, the biggest problem that the folks on Capitol Hill were you know, preaching was saying that there are too many people in the backlog waiting for security clearance. This is a national security threat, the fact that we can't get people on board fast enough. So at the time, the thought was, you know, we need to refine the clearance process. We need to get it moving faster. We need to have more investigators, more adjudicators out there, and really make the process move quicker. And, you know, as late as 2013 or so, you know, the GAO and OPM were reporting back, yes, it is faster now. The backlog has been all but eliminated. People are getting their clearances much, much faster. And unfortunately, I think that the consensus is that quality of investigation was sacrificed for speed. And, you know, people can point to Edward Snowden, they can point to Aaron Alexis, they can point to others and, you know, understand that, unfortunately, that does seem to be the case, that, you know, speed was the number one issue and quality was sacrificed. So now we've gotten back into the arena of thought that we need to slow down a little bit, whether it's a periodic reinvestigation or a new clearance, need to take a step back, move a little bit slower, a little bit more deliberately, and make sure that the investigative information that's being pulled forth is detailed, is accurate, and is conveyed properly to adjudicators. And, you know, we're going to be kind of coming full circle again, I anticipate, in the next year or so, that we've got another clearance backlog, that clearances are taking longer and longer. Employers are already reporting that periodic reinvestigations have almost all but stopped. Employers are reporting that interim clearances are not really an option these days, and that final clearances, especially for TS level and higher, are taking much, much longer to pull through. So just grabbing someone off the street and trying to obtain a clearance for them is not really an option in 2015. So we're really in a situation we have not seen for quite a while.
And this is why we're not getting enough people and who are willing to sponsor in terms of you know, government contractors who are willing to sponsor or anything else. And I remember the hype of, you know, the new technology is going to be able to reduce the time period in terms of clearances. Now we can check things at a certain pace. And I'm assuming even with the Snowden situation, have we seen a dynamic of saying we need to dig into people's backgrounds a little bit more? Maybe we need to look into some other things, look into their social media presence a little more. Are we seeing just an increase in terms of the scrutiny, Evan?
Most definitely. You know, there's already talk out there of reducing the periodic reinvestigation time for people with top secret clearance, you know, trying to pull that time period down. The whole concept about continuous monitoring rather than doing periodic checks has been floated. I can't say it really got anywhere. Unfortunately, it was about a year ago that the primary discussion in government was continuous monitoring. But I think people quickly understood that the technology required to do so, the manpower required to do so, might make it cost prohibitive. So, you know, I think when you put that together, you're finding out that it's great that they're taking a little bit longer to do more thorough checks of individuals who are either getting a PR or a new clearance. But the time frame makes it fairly, you know, not very palatable for right. someone who's going through the process.
Right.
So we do hear from candidates all the time that say, you know, I've been waiting 4, 6, 12 months for my security clearance. I have not heard anything. My FSO at the company I'm talking to hasn't heard anything. It's just dead air. And I'm getting frustrated. You know, what do I do? And I think in our age where more and more people are used to the instant gratification and quick communication that they receive from the internet, a process where you're having to sit back and wait for months to hear back anything is just not something that flies with a lot of people, both young and old. It's just creating an atmosphere where hiring is getting to be more and more difficult.
You know, you hit it right on, and we've got a closure right here, Evan. I want people to go to clearancejobs.com. There's a lot of great things going on, and they're always launching something new. If you've got a clearance, you need to be on there. We want to get that update on the site, Evan, but we will get that next time because you always have something new to bring to the table when we always have you back on. Thank you so much, Evan, for providing us some insight on what's going on today.
It's our pleasure, Derek. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.